Min-Max Podcast. My name is David, and I want to thank you for joining us on our adventures. We can't tell you how much we appreciate you listening to our podcast and sharing it with anyone who you think might enjoy it. In the game, I play the halfling with the inconsistent accent, Plum Pargeter. Out of the game, I'm also the guy who handles all of the editing and production for our podcast. I'd like to talk briefly about the one thing I'm more passionate about than tabletop RPGs. Music. Anyone who knows me personally knows I've spent literally my whole life around music, and it will always be my greatest love. At the end of every episode, I mention Sirenscape, which is an awesome company who create amazing sounds and atmospheres and music to use with your tabletop game sessions. You'll hear their stuff in every episode of the Min-Max Podcast. You'll also hear in many episodes music that I have created. I love to create ambient music to suit a scene or campaign. Everyone knows that with movies and TV shows, the right music can make a scene or even the whole story. Well, I believe the same to be true with tabletop RPGs. All the music I create for the Min-Max podcast will be made available on our YouTube channel. Our channel is called, of course, Min-Maxed. That's M-N-M-A-X-E-D. I'll create playlists of the music titled with different moods and settings they might fit. It'll be small to start, but I'll be adding more and more as we continue. Please feel free to go use that for your own games and adventures. Again, thanks for joining us, and as always, we hope you have many great adventures of your own. A recap of Session 9. As we venture into the Blighted Wood, we come across three viney plant monsters, and they're actually fucking ridiculous. Daru goes down over and over, Varnak does as well. Finally, they are defeated. We take some time to go heal up, then enter the gnarled tree wolf den. We find one big dead disgusting wolf and two very strange blind wolves who are not dead. Combat is intense, lots of damage flying around. Finally, the wolves go down without any party deaths, including insert name here, who is now called Roxy.
So as the last blind wolf falls, you guys stare at the large coagulating pools of blood. That's right, that's blood is coming out of these wolves and coagulating with the air. It's got this shimmer to it. It's almost like this green tinge. You still see red blood in there, but as the blood's coagulating, you also see like these pockets of green pussy bits in the blood, and it smells rancid. It's absolutely disgusting. It's not even like, it's not that sickly sweet smell of decay. No, you know what? I'm not going to try to come up with the most disgusting thing I can think of for smells. It smells gross.
As bad as me?
Worse. Way worse.
Wow, that's bad.
That's bad.
I'm like inured to the Vorn smell at this point. I've been around him enough. It's like, okay, this is just normal. I've accustomed myself, or whatever the word would be.
It's like acclimated.
Acclimated. That's the word I was looking for.
It's like that you can't smell what your own house actually smells like because you're in it all the time. Nose blind to it. Is that what it is?
Well, I'm not nose blind to this, so I probably start vomiting.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Absolutely gross.
I do want to look around, I guess, even though it's terrible and horrible. We need to figure out what's going on here, see if we can get some clues onto what we can do to make it stop. So I will make a perception check and get
this
a 14.
Shimmering pool.
Plum, you're looking around and it's difficult. The smell of the blind wolf's blood is extremely distracting. But you notice that the pool of water in here, it's emitting a glow that does dimly light up this cavern. It seems to like have this oil on water sort of shimmer to it.
What if I like swirl my warhammer through it?
You know that when you have chocolate milk, if you leave it for long enough and don't stir it and just leave it still, it has that like coating of chocolate along the top of it. And you put your spoon in it to stir it, and it starts wrapping around the spoon. There's this scum at the top of this water. It starts wrapping around your warhammer, and if you lift it up out of the water, it just kind of dangles off of it, and it does smell acidic.
Gross.
But your warhammer isn't melting or anything.
I'm not going in there.
Like, does the glow seem like it is something in the water? Like,
no, it seems like the glow is the water.
Oh.
I think we should take some samples of this water and have it investigated by somebody who knows something about alchemy.
If I take out my travel mug, fill up a cup, is that water glowing?
Yes.
All right, I got my own personal lantern. Let's go. All right, well, yeah.
Let's
we have
that.
Our sample.
Yeah, take that sample.
And I need a new mug.
Yes. Never drink out of that again. Wait, no. Give it to Vorn without him knowing.
Oh, God.
Let's just
Barnack will move up to it and kind of sniff it a little bit. Is it just a perception or can we take like a...
Give me a survival check.
Or survival?
Survival or nature, whichever you prefer.
Yeah, they're both the same for me, so... Roll a 16.
The water definitely seems tainted somehow, but you don't really know how. There's something in this water, infusing the water. This isn't natural, and this doesn't naturally occur in the forest. You can say that with pretty good certainty.
I would also like to take a look at the rest of the cave, see if I can find anything, you know, just else.
I'll look around the cave.
I get a nat 20. I get a total of 25.
Nat 1.
All right. Plum, you're going through here. You find there's clumps of hair kind of all over this place, and the hair is really putrid smelling.
Like wolf hair?
Yeah, like rotted wolf hair.
Gross.
Just kind of all over the place.
Like it fell out of the hairless wolves that we've just found?
Killed. There's that. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Gross.
There's a couple of spots that you definitely know are droppings, wolf droppings. Except for fumets, it kind of glows.
Wait, their fumets glow?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It's not a heavy glow, but it's definitely emitting some kind of slight light.
Guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to create our own gross rave scene.
No, let's not do that. I'd like to check out the dead wolf a little bit closer. See if there's anything, like, did he die from drinking this water, or is it too far gone to be able to tell?
Go ahead and give me a nature check.
17.
You can't exactly say for sure, but given what you see in that pool of water and the fact that the wolf is dead right next to it, you think that you can draw that conclusion pretty easily, that the water killed the wolf. The other two must have adapted somehow.
By adapted, or you mean they lost their eyeballs?
And all their fur, and we're probably going to die too.
Mutated, yeah, they mutated.
Is this like some type of Ferngully quest?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Save the forest.
Nothing wrong with saving the forest.
Dude, I love that movie. I love Ferngully.
I was actually like, it scared me as a kid.
Yeah, that oil slime thing.
Yeah, the oil monster. And then they did the remake back in 2007.
They did? Wait,
they did?
Yeah, Avatar.
Yeah, I was gonna say Avatar.
Yeah, so what I'd really like to do is investigate if we can find like a source of this water that's in here. Is there any kind of a dripping coming? I don't want to have to get in
check.
There. Nature check. I can do a nature check. Well, I roll a 16, so I get a total of a 21.
You can tell that this water is being fed from an underground source.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was worried about. I do not want to go spelunking into this water.
Less about that it has big open caverns below filled with this foul water. Moreover, that it's maybe a runoff to an underground from an underground stream.
So we need to go outside and look for that stream, I guess.
We underground need a dividing
stream
rod.
Oh, the whole stream is underground. I thought maybe it was a stream.
Yes.
Do we know of any rivers or streams around town?
There are plenty of creeks and streams in the forests around. Vernac could tell you that very easily.
But none of them look like this.
No, they don't.
Is there anybody besides Vernac who might know more about the nature in this area regarding aquifers and underground streams?
I mean, Nawala is still probably your best bet.
Yeah,
okay. I have to go back to Nawala.
Since Vernac can't roll above, 10?
10.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's go talk to Nawala then. And also maybe heal up a bit. I don't know. Vorn, what do you got for heals left?
Good question.
I need to pray a lot.
None.
Yeah, I didn't think you did.
Did I treat wounds on anybody last week?
No, but I think you battle medicine me or Vernac.
I battle medicine someone, and then I use 3 heals.
Oh, you guys attempted to treat wounds, and I think you failed a bunch.
Okay, let's get back to that track, start failing some more. All that was close. It was on a 2 for a second.
That worked.
So 26, yep.
Fantastic. How much do I heal?
13.
Nice.
13. Oh, nice that rolls. Puts me back up to full. Thank you, sir.
I'll try Daru, too.
Damn, that 20.
Only good rolls of the night right there.
Hold on, is there any critical success for
there is. He gets 48.
4d8, hot damn.
I believe so.
I think that's right, too.
It is 4d8 hit points recovered.
I'm full health.
Shit.
You get 20.
I know there's a 1 in there, but 2 8s in that roll.
Yeah, but also a 1 and a 3. So it's not tremendous.
It's a little above average.
Just like me.
Hey, don't talk like that, Spencer. You're well below average.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding.
Whoa.
Yeah. So did I critically succeed the first deal too, then? For the 26?
Fuck, you did.
I mean, I don't need it.
I know, but technically...
You 10 or more.
I guess technically, yeah.
Too bad you only have 20 HP.
Yeah, he overheals.
I would have healed you another 11, just to let you know.
Fantastic. Can I give it to
no.
my parrot, who now has a name, by the way? I'd like to point out that we did get at least one suggestion. So thank you to Bob for the suggestion. Roxy is now my parrot's name.
Thanks, Bob. We like hearing from you guys.
Roxy was one of the ones that I tried to battle with. I know that I failed, but I tried.
The party's kind of healed up a little bit. I'd assumed you guys went out into the clearing to do that healing and not hang out in the short, stinky den of the dead wolves.
Yeah.
Okay. You all know, Varnak at least, you could follow the game trail that you used to come in, and you'll be able to lead everybody back to Nuala pretty simply when it comes time. What does the party do?
I mean, I think that's what we do.
Yeah, I think we need to go talk to her about this underwater shimmering stream. So I think that's what we'll do. We'll head back. Well, did we look around this clearing before we went into the den? I thought we did, but I can't remember for sure.
I think you did.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, there's nothing there. Varnak leads the party back to Nuala, or at least down to the game pack where you split up from her. When you find her, she actually has two wolves who have their throats slit hanging from the trees. And when she sees you come, she cuts them down and says, "Varnak, help me build a fire for these."
Do they look like diseased wolves again or just like regular wolves?
They look like diseased wolves.
Did you get attacked while we were gone?
No, I caught these in snares. They attempted to leave the clearing shortly before you entered it. I couldn't let them escape into the woods.
Fair enough.
Varnak will start building a fire.
So she's kind of taking you outside of the Blighted Zone for this. She's uncertain as to what effect fire will have on the Blighted area. Since it's unpredictable, she doesn't want to accidentally start the whole Blighted area on fire.
Might be best, really.
Not yet, at least. She doesn't want to yet. She wants to find out what it's from first. So after you guys get the fire all set up and going. So, what did you find?
I show her the mug of water. Does it still have the glow?
Yes.
There's a whole stream of this shit back in the hollowed out tree.
Yeah, we found a pool of it, and we believe that it leads to an underground stream.
I see. That's interesting. There is the oldest of the blight spots far north of here. It could be that whatever's causing this is there and is feeding into an underground stream that's making it spread throughout the forest in different pockets. We could go there.
We have to?
If we're to find what's spreading the blight, going to the largest and earliest point is probably the best bet. But as far as underground streams that might be feeding into the pool, there must be one coming from the north.
Well, sounds like that's where we're going to be going then.
I suppose it does, Plum. There is roughly a day's worth of travel required for this trip.
Are there roads, or is it like through the woods?
No, certainly through the woods. Occasional game trail. Don't sound so disappointed, Plum.
Oh, but I am. I think we're going to need to resupply and rest a little bit first, though.
Okay, we can go back to town.
How far away are we from town right now? Didn't we decide not to go back to town earlier because of how we're a few hours away, right?
Yeah, it's about 3 to 4 hours.
I guess we could rest here.
It's at about 1 o'clock.
Not like the bed in the stables is much better. We can rest here.
So, we pitch camp. Do you need any supplies?
Do you have any booze?
Sorry?
Do you have any booze?
No. Varnak and I don't drink.
I think we need to go back to town.
I mean, I want to be clear. I very specifically said that I pack a few bottles of the Keonin wine. But
you did.
I don't know if I want to share that with Vork. That's going to be all gone in no time.
Yeah, you don't want to.
All the good stuff just gone.
Just gone.
He's not even going to taste it. So what's the point?
Exactly.
Vorn's the friend you buy the big boxes of Franzia for.
So yeah, I think we pitch camp, rest up, and get ready to travel the next day.
Okay. So you guys set about to burn in the wolf bodies. You'll then go find a separate place away from the wolf bodies to set up camp. Throughout the night, do you guys have anything that you'd like to do?
Obviously we'll be taking watches.
Is that obvious?
I would certainly hope so.
Maybe to Varnak it's obvious.
I should say to Varnak it sounds obvious.
There's crazy wolves about. Why would we not want to set up watches?
Has anybody figured out, I guess that's something I have not looked into, or if I read it, I've forgotten. Is there anything special about how, like, rest and spell recovery works? Do you need the uninterrupted 8 hours?
The only uninterrupted part says you need 6 continuous hours to avoid becoming fatigued.
6 continuous hours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which seems like they built this up. People do 2-hour watches. There's a watch and rest table.
What page is it on?
500. It has group size and how long each watch is and how much time that take. So it says we'd sleep for 10 hours and 40 minutes. Each watch would be 2 hours and 40 minutes.
But there's 5 of us. We've got Nawala.
So 2 hours for each person, 10 hours total.
I also love the picture on the opposite page. That picture on 501 is fantastic. It's like a pirate tavern, and it looks great. It just...
Oh, yeah.
It feels kind of cool. Immersive. Yeah.
The sorcerer is just passed out on the table. Right? Isn't that a...
That's the druid, I think, actually.
Oh, is it the druid?
Yeah, that's the druid. Look at that. It's a drunk druid.
It is.
Hey!
So...
We rest for 2 hours, or we rest, and part of that is 2 hours.
Of watch. It's 10 hours.
It's 10 hours total, and we each watch for 2 hours.
Yes.
Including Nawala. Yes.
Including Nawala.
So the night goes by. It's relatively peaceful. Every now and then you hear, like, these strange, like, bushes kind of shifting and swaying or, like, shivering. That happens a couple of times throughout the night. Not like the bushes that you ran across when you were entering the clearing. Not like that heavy vibrating that they did. But just every now and then, just a couple of just shakes. Almost like the bushes are twitching. However, the morning comes. Nawala, I would imagine Varnak is probably up before dawn as well.
Yeah, always.
I'm sleeping in if I can.
Begin prepping food.
Yeah, I'll start a small fire, get some food going.
When I wake up, I'll assist Varnak. Only because I don't want my food to be bland and boring, and I'll cast some prestidigitation to spice the food.
Make it taste a little better?
Yeah.
So everybody gets up, they have breakfast in the morning. Nawala goes, it's a long travel to get there. It's about a full day to reach the blight that we're going to be going to. Do you intend on entering the area as we get there?
I mean, if it's a full day's travel, we might want to stop a little short. Rest for the night. I don't think we want to enter the worst of it after a full day's of walking.
What do you all say?
I figure, like, let's see where we're at when we get there. And yeah, if it's late and we're tired, I say we rest again before we go in.
That does assume that nothing happens on the way.
Right. And that might be a pretty big assumption.
What say you, we get on the journey? So the woods are quiet. Vorn, they're quieter than the woods that you're used to. You're used to seeing squirrels scampering on the trees and birds flying around and things like that. It doesn't seem to be a lot going on in this forest. It seems a little unsettling to you, even in the non-blighted areas. But it would seem as though the wildlife is dying off. You do see, like, the occasional carcass of a bird on the ground with caustic burns in its feathers. The other small animals, as you kind of are going through... Nawala says, this is what I'm talking about. All of the animals just dying.
Varnak is very quiet. He's very grim about it. He looks somber at what's happening to the woods.
The first half of the day goes off with no issue. Around lunchtime, Nawala is going to have you kind of take a break. We're not setting up a fire, but just trail rations for lunch.
One's got butterflies.
Head on to the afternoon leg of the journey. Again, forest is very quiet. Nuala doesn't seem to be going in a straight line. Vernac, you know that she is avoiding other areas of blight. Just around, I would say, 7, 8 o'clock, she stops the party and says, the edge of the blight on this location is about a quarter mile ahead. Do you wish to stop here?
I don't see why not.
I mean, if it's 7 or 8 at night, I absolutely think we should stop here.
We can rest.
We'll rest.
So you guys decide to set up camp after the day of traveling. I want everybody to drop me secret rolls in the dice tower for perception. Now I want Vernac to give me his survival roll, and I want that to be secret as well.
Can other people give a survival roll? Or just
this is for camouflaging camp. I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, that Vernac and Nuala are going to be doing that.
Yeah, I have knowledge nature, but I feel like it. I'm just going to play it as though it's like ocean nature, like the sea nature.
Can I help?
The druid would probably help.
You'd have to ask Vernac and Nuala.
I have nothing better to do.
I guess we wouldn't say I'll ask no. Them. You can aid.
You want me to aid?
I'm having Nuala do the primary role. Everything goes, the night goes by pretty smoothly. You all wake up the next morning?
I assume so.
Do we?
Yeah, I like how you said that like a question. You all wake up the next morning? No, actually, I died.
Vorta never woke up.
I sent David and Vorta a message, said you died in the night.
My liver gave out.
I say withdrawals, actually.
So you guys get up the next morning. I assume that your morning routine is very similar to the last one. Noala, do you suggest you don't do the small fire? Being this close?
Yeah.
Since we don't know what's in there?
Yeah, I don't want to attract any attention at this close.
Exactly. In fact, she would have insisted no fire last night as well.
As we've been heading north, has the corruption gotten worse? Like, is it noticeably worse up here?
Not yet. Through, like, just talking during the hike, you discovered from Nuala that she's leading you around the sections of blight as best she can.
Yeah, the worst of it we're kind of not seeing, I think, because probably had to fight our way through everything if we would have done that.
XP. We could be level 3 by now.
Except for you're not.
Go grind out mobs in the swamps.
Let's go kill some boars.
I was just going to fucking say that.
Just prepare some AoE spells. We're good, man.
Noala is going to, just before you go out for the morning, she's gonna say to everybody, much like before, I will be staying outside to ensure that nothing leaves this area. I'm going to begin setting snares around. Before I do, I'm going to give you something. She reaches into her pack and pulls out 4 vials.
I ask her what they are.
These are 2 lesser healing potions and 2 bark skin potions.
There you go. Bark skin. Target gains resistance 2 to bludgeon and piercing damage and weakness 3 to fire.
Huh. For how long?
10 minutes.
That is drastically different from 1E bark skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plum certainly doesn't need any of those. I'd probably say give 1 of each to Daru and Vernac.
Warren agrees.
I'm not going to say no. Not with the way the last couple combats have gone.
After she gives you guys the potions, she says, be very careful in here. This is the oldest of the blights I've found, and it's also the largest. I've yet to travel in here with Vernac. We fear what might be inside with just 2 of us. But with the 4 of you, I believe there's a better fighting chance.
Well, I'm always very careful. It doesn't seem to stop me from getting injured quite frequently, but luckily we've got some heals.
Good luck to you.
And to you.
She goes off and disappears into the woods. She's carrying some snares for traps. Vernac, you know there's a game trail that kind of leads through here, and you know where the center would be, even if you've never been there. So you can lead the party through.
Okay. I will do that then. Just to put this out there, while traveling, my weapons are out.
So as you guys are walking through the blight here, there's a couple of things that you're going to notice. It starts off being very much like the one that you came across when it came to the den, the blighted den, the wolf's den. And it's, you know, it's kind of like a Like the trees are kind of like wet looking, but they're dark and spotted. Things are kind of squishing a little bit underfoot. It's still solid ground, but you can hear every time you take a step. In, I would say, about half an hour of travel, there's this line that you come up to. It's a distinct band that, looking left to right, just kind of goes in both directions. And on the other side of this line that you have, the blight gets worse. It's one right next to the other. So it's not like, you know, it's not a drawn line, but the blight is pretty bad here, and then in a line all the way left and right, it gets worse.
Well, that's dramatic.
In this area, the plants you can see are like they're mostly dead, as opposed to being sickly and brown. They're limp, they're rotten. There's definitely no birds here. There are no insects at all.
There's one bird here.
There's Roxy there. Rock plump. After about 20 minutes of traveling through this band, you see another one ahead, and this one
gets worse.
Yeah, it gets even worse, because instead of being dead or sickly like the previous spots, it almost seems like the flora in this area, like the plants have returned to some sort of like twisted life. The leaves are actually dripping with oily sap. The branches are gnarled yet strangely pliable. The bark on a lot of the trees looks more like scales than actual bark. There are some like odd glowing pustules on some of the plant life here, and there's gnats all over the place. They're getting all up in your face. They're faintly glow. Man, those gnats are annoying.
Gnats always are.
This is certainly unpleasant.
It certainly is. The forest floor now feels like you're walking through mud. But if you look down, you see it's not mud. You're actually walking through rotted plant matter.
It's gross.
We just leave. Why are we here?
I quit. I'm done. I give up.
The four of us all just head off. We gather our stuff. And we get a wagon and we get all of those stolen goods, the black market goods from Howard's place, and we go and we sell it and we start a new life for ourselves and we become pirates. Yeah. Let's go run Skulls and Shackles 2.0.
I mean, you know, we're not allowed to leave the town, but yet we're a long ways away from town.
Well, I think it's just the caravan that's not allowed to leave town.
No,
I don't even think the caravan's not allowed to leave. The caravan can leave town now, and it's just Tamley doesn't want to because she wants to figure out what happened.
Bingo.
Fuck them. I'm just going to wander off into the woods and we're going to go home.
That sounds like a very Vorn thing to do. Pawn comes with you.
I could absolutely see Vorn just like, yeah, I'm gone.
Like, fuck this.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for listening in to the Fall of Plaguestone. Tune in next week where we talk at length about what the fuck we're going to do next. All right, bye.
I feel like Daru and Varnak are the only ones that actually stay, because Daru more just because of his sense of duty, Varnak because he's from here, but...
Look at that, Swanee. You're better at role-playing Spencer's character than
me. This is like, I can't go, I guess.
Okay, let's trudge through this shit.
So as you're walking through the really sickly forest, footsteps are splorching every time they lift your boots out of the dead plant matter. Vernac, you need to give me a survival check.
I am continuing the good rolls of what I've seen. I don't know what my secret ones are, but I rolled a natural 1 for an 8. We're about to get lost, folks.
Vernac, you don't know where you are suddenly. You're used to like looking at the trees for moss to help you get to find out where north is, or the stars if it's night out and which direction you're headed, and the compass doesn't seem to be functioning right now.
I have no recollection of this place. Anybody? Come on. David's too busy.
I got it. I was trying to, honestly, what I was doing is I was reading prestidigitation to see if there was a way I could keep the gnats away from me. I've got a couple ideas.
So yeah, I'll just be like, I I don't know where we are.
Let me see that compass there. Let me see that compass. And I will make a nature check to see if I can figure out where we might be and where we need to go.
Survival.
It's survival, not nature.
Oh, I don't have survival. Never mind.
I'll take a look.
Wait, you have a compass, but you don't have survival?
Vorn's sober. He's going to come take a look. I get a 22.
Vorn, you don't even need the compass. You're just like, guys, if we keep going this direction, it's going to be straight from where we came from. Follow me.
Like, look at the sun. Look at this. This is the shit I always do.
Also, like, there's...
Like, how do you not know where we are right now?
What is a compass?
That's a good point. What is a compass, says Vorn. Vorn, you also find some boot tracks leading deeper into the blight.
Male or female?
They don't have a heel, I guess?
Big, small.
Oh, big boots.
So either a very large woman or a man.
Trying to figure out if it's this V.
I step in the boot. Is it bigger than my boots?
Yes. I'm still going with that V is Halid's gay lover. I think that's who V
Victor.
Is. It's Victor.
Victor!
We were onto something there, right?
You guys had a lead.
Yeah, I know. But that was a girl, and that's just much less interesting to me now.
You've lost me.
Halid's not gay? I don't care anymore. Vilry. I got it written down.
I appreciate that.
We continue on with...
You continue with on, but do you follow
Vorn's
the boot tracks?
Oh.
But the boot tracks go in the same direction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then absolutely.
Then yes.
No, we go the opposite direction.
You know what? Fuck this place. So yeah, go ahead and give me a survival on that.
Please secret again?
Yes, please.
I feel like secret checks are very like depressing. It's like, yeah, I gotta roll some die.
They're very disconcerting, I would say.
Like, no, I don't like, see
I have no idea what I did.
I get anxious about it. I try to see Tyler's expression.
trying to read my god-awful poker face.
It's the only time you actually do a decent poker face. Unless we're just rolling mediocre.
So as you guys go along, following the tracks, Vorn's leading everybody in to as close to the center of the blight as he possibly can. It seems as though either there have been three separate events that occurred that causes these distinct bands like this, or this is something that grows like a fungus would grow. Now, I'm not talking mushrooms. You ever seen a fungus growing on like a tree stump?
Yeah.
And it has distinct bands as it goes outward. You're thinking that that's the closest comparison that you can make to this. Either that or, like I said, three separate events that occurred that have either gotten better over time, like the first event was maybe very large and that outside band has had time to get better, or if it's just spreading out like that. Between the two, you think it's growing like a fungus would grow.
That's what I think, because for the other one, it would... it seems as though this is getting worse. And so it wouldn't be making sense for it to get better. I think it's definitely the growing like a fungus thing.
All right.
So if it is a fungus, fire.
You want to burn down the woods?
At least burn down the fungus.
Should we just start a forest fire and call it a day?
Only you can make forest fires.
Come back in a day or two after everything burns clean. Wait, that's so bad for the air.
Yeah, it is.
Nope. Really? Vorn won't do that.
Fires are not good for air quality.
Yeah. And suddenly Vorn loses all of his powers? Weird.
It's the one thing he cares about. Don't fuck with the air.
As you guys are kind of going along following the boot trail, you're getting maybe about half an hour to 45 minutes going through this. You finally reach this, like, clearing. And it comes up on the side of this hillside that you see. Deeper into the massive blight, the plants take an unnatural shades. The branches seem to shudder and quake at the sensation of something passing. But up ahead is a wall of thick brambles of some sort, and there's a thorny iris at its center. And these trees, it looks like there's some bushes and some trees in here, and they have a lot of the same features I was talking about before. But this like thorny iris in the brambles, it does really seem like leafless bramble branches that are growing in a circular clockwise pattern into the middle.
So it's like a spiral?
Yeah, giving it the look of an eye. I mean, it's not like a single bramble branch, but all the branches are going in the same direction. And it does seem to like spiral down into an eye almost.
How portentous.
What do you all do?
I tell Vorn he should cast from as far away as possible, produce flame on those brambles and see if he can burn them.
But the air.
But
no, I'll do that.
Look what we have created.
What's the range on your spell?
I can extend that with reach spell.
Oh, nice.
So what does that end up turning it into?
That's what I'm looking at. It looks like it just increases it by 30 feet, so 60 feet.
60 feet? Okay. So you're up front, right?
Why am I in front? Who put me in front? This is not our marching order.
You just have to be in front.
60 feet.
I was leading the way.
Daru is scouting, so who the hell knows where he is?
I just like throw a baseball flame from 60 feet away.
Okay.
At the bramble.
So when you throw the little ball of flame at the bramble, so are you throwing it at the iris or at just the bramble wall in general?
That's a good question.
Go for its eye.
We'll start with the wall itself, just the wall.
Okay.
How thick is the stuff around the path?
The stuff like, around that, the path?
Like just looking at this map, the path thins, but then just wondering, the green, is that
grass?
Really thick grass, or is it like undergrowth, or is that the...
Given the description that the book gives and the actual maps that it gives, there's a pretty large discrepancy against what's being described in the words and what we see on the maps. I suspect there's no actual green. Okay. If it is, it's a sickly looking green.
Imagine this is all dead.
But is this like...
Yeah. I guess in game turns, is it like difficult terrain to go through that area?
No.
Okay.
No, I see where you're getting at that. No, it's not difficult terrain to go off of the path that goes up to the iris.
I was trying to ask it in a more role playing type way, but
I appreciate that. But yes, you're good to go. Vorn, as your ball of fire reaches the wall of thorns here, it hits and something really interesting happens. It definitely doesn't start on fire, right? But what happens is the ball where the flame hit completely gouts out immediately, but it starts to like hiss. It, you know that sound of like something being heated up and bubbling through to the surface? So it starts hissing and bubbling, and it starts like this like black ooze just kind of like leaks out of the thorny wall. It's not a lot of it, but it's really gross looking.
Yeah, it sounds really disgusting.
It is Ferngully.
Like, almost like it's bleeding?
Almost like it's bleeding.
I'm gonna throw some acid at it.
Does the same thing.
Okay, how about a ray of frost?
Doesn't do the same thing. It actually would just freeze a section of it.
Electric arc. Just throwing cantrips at it left and right.
I would say electric arc would probably have a similar effect to the fireball, but it's in a much centralized location. A smaller, like, pinpoint, and it kind of, like, splorches that black stuff out of it, kind of like when you pop a zit and it hits the, hits the bathroom mirror by accident.
Oh, God.
Why would you say that?
Try to get across the grossness. I think it's working, though.
Is it hissing any louder, or is it still, like, the each time, same little thing?
Each time, it's the same little thing, and then it stops.
I am at the iris, and I throw a produce flame at it.
When you do it to the iris... It does the same thing, except for it doesn't ooze the black. It kind of hisses and pops a little bit, but the fire gouts out immediately like it did before, and the whole door kind of starts writhing and then stops.
I start unloading all my cantrips.
I join in. Boom, yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
Everybody give me a perception check that is also an initiative roll.
Okay.
Okay. Do we get a plus one from the scouting?
You do.
Eight.
God damn it. Seven.
Barnett gets a 24. Best roll of the night so far.
I got a 10.
As you guys decide, like, I can imagine Plum and Vorn start look at each other and like cock an eyebrow, and then they just start charging up their spells. We get kind of that like, we're gonna do it. We're gonna fuck this thing up sort of look. You look excited about it. But as soon as you do that, Vorn, the bush that's just to the left of you begins to tremble and vibrate and a couple of the other bushes begin doing the exact same thing as well.
Shit.
And this is very reminiscent to what you encountered just outside the wolf den. They all kind of pop up on these thin little vines, and they begin like shaking and spinning in a circle. Okay, Vernak, you begin this combat.
So, as previously stated, Vernak has his two weapons out already. So he will take a step action for his first action. Second action will be his hunt prey ability on this small plant 3. And then he will use his twin blades action. Twin take them.
Are these the same things?
They look exactly the same.
Oh, go, go, go.
Okay, battle axe first. We will roll a 5 for a total of a 13.
13 misses.
Of course it does. Then we will take the other swing with the hammer. Well, I rolled a 16, and it should have been a plus 6 instead of a minus 3. I'll just re-roll.
Minus 3 because it's a multiple attack penalty, but it didn't add your normal stuff, right?
Right.
To minus 3 because he's hunt prey and dual flurry.
You re-explain all those things?
Re-explain my abilities?
Yes.
So, hunt prey just gives means that there's the focus of my abilities. It doesn't really give me any bonuses in combat. But then my, what is it called? My Hunter's Edge is Flurry, which makes my multiple attack penalties reduced against my prey. So instead of the minus 5, minus 10, it's minus 3, minus 6, unless I have an agile weapon, in which case it's a minus 2, minus 4. So it's significantly reduced penalties.
And they're both of those attacks are a single action, or is that two actions?
Twin takedown is one single action to do attack with both weapons. But it's considered a flourish, which means I can only do it once per turn. And hunt prey itself is also an action.
How long does hunt prey last?
One day, or until I use it on somebody else.
You have an infinite number of uses per day for it?
Yes. So,
Ranger's got early level upgrade.
Yeah, I really didn't care for Rangers in 1E, but one of the things I like is they got rid of kind of all of those half caster classes and just gave them abilities that you can choose.
I think that worked out a lot better.
And I like that. Yeah, I feel like the half caster classes, trying to fit those in to a full caster style, just made things confusing.
It did.
Like, oh, this is a third level spell or fourth level spell, but paladins can do it at second level because they don't get second level until level 6 or 7.
I thought it was like 8 or something.
Might be 8. Like it might have been 8. Anyways, so yeah, because I did that minus 3, I guess I rerolled it and I shouldn't, maybe.
I'll let you take that 16, man.
Will you? Okay.
I will.
So let's let David edit this however he wants.
And I choose to do so by letting everyone know that Swanee fucked up.
So I rolled a 16, the plus 6. I get a 22 with my offhand weapon, my
22
light hammer.
22 does hit, yes.
But to be fair, we all fuck up a lot.
If I recall, bludgeoning does not do as much damage to them, so we'll see.
Okay.
I did do 10 damage.
Max Thieves.
10 damage.
The offhand.
You smack it good. Because your light hammer kind of gets into the bush and hits it. You notice that the foliage around the bush isn't as thick as the other was. It's already looking like it's pretty hurt.
Nice.
So it's already not quite the same as the other ones that you approached.
That's good. Because
it's maybe a little bit weaker.
We're very powerful and kicked our ass. And that's Barnak's turn.
And to be even more fair, I definitely fuck up the most.
It ends up being the small plant that you just attacked. What it's going to do is it's going to swing at you. So Varnak's going to get swung at by this big vine. Does a 22 hit?
Absolutely.
So if the 22 hits, he's going to deal you 3 points of damage, and he gets grab as well. The monster automatically grabs the target until the end of the monster's next turn. The creature is grabbed by whichever body part the monster attacked with, and that body part can't be used to strike creatures until the grab is ended. So a grabbed creature can use the escape action to get out of the grab, and the grabbed ends for grabbed creatures if the monster moves away from it.
So does this have multiple, like, appendages, or is it using its, like, main stalk to grab?
It's using its main vine to do that.
Okay.
But a vine lasher, this thing, has a very specific ability here. A creature grabbed by a vine lasher is not immobilized, as a grab would normally have you be immobilized. But the grabbed creature's space and every adjacent square use the rules for difficult terrain. If the creature moves, the vine lasher moves with it, always keeping the grabbed creature within 10 feet of itself. If two,
well, like, it's just like hanging on to me.
He's just hanging on to you right now. And then it's going to end its turn there. One of the small plants that's quite a bit farther away from the party starts scuttling up on its little vine legs towards you. And from a little ways back here, it's going to lash out at Vorn that has reach. Does an 11 hit?
Fuck no. It's a critical miss.
11 misses. All right. So then that one used two stride actions to get up within striking distance and then biffed it.
Wait, you have 21 AC?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Do you have your raised shield up or something?
Maybe. Let's not talk about that. It's not a critical miss, but it is still a miss.
That's okay. These strikes don't have a critical miss anyways.
Just edit that out.
No, it's funny.
After that plant goes, another one, kind of in the back, starts scuttling forward as well.
Why are you attacking me? I was just throwing fireballs at the wall.
I was just throwing harmless fireballs at the plants.
Some acid, little cross.
Maybe some lightning bolts.
Maybe a few lightning bolts.
All right. Vorn, he uses two actions to get up to you, and like his guy before, he is going to strike at you. Does an 18 hit.
That is a miss.
Fuck. All right. Well, Vorn's getting by easily here. It's two of the plants lash out and miss. And then that's going to leave. Vorn, you are up.
Yeah, fuck this. I'm running. I take my first action as a move, and I fucking run towards the back, towards Plum, where he's always hiding in back. And then for my second and third actions, I will throw a produce flame at the one that Vernak is in combat with. Vernak? Okay. Vernak?
Varnak? Varnak.
Varnak? Why is
can
there...
Change, it's, can you change that E to an A for me then? Because yeah.
Can I? I can do that, yes.
I keep fucking that up too.
Varnak. Yes.
Okay. I like that better than Vernak anyways.
So much better.
I mean, if anything, it was probably more like, you know, in that Dwarven Scottish Vernak, where it's like a long A, Vernak.
So Vorn moves back and then tosses a produced flame at the plant that has...
Small plant 3. That is a hit.
25 definitely hits.
Yep. And it's 1d4 plus 4. I roll max 4, so 8 damage. 8 fire damage.
8 fire damage. This one kind of squeeze a little bit as it falls over and lets go of Varnak at the same time.
Nice.
You kill it.
Lit the fucker up.
Yes, you did. Then after Vorn, it is the last plant's turn here. He's going to take one stride action to kind of get just behind the two guys, the two plants that are up towards the front. And he looks like he's readying. It's readying itself. I know what that means. Daru, you're up.
All right. Well, I don't really like how they're positioned if I go in, but...
Daru, cast the spell Sandstorm.
I'll just fucking get right
really?
Up there.
Really? That's really dangerous.
I gotta fight him.
As you approach, the one in the back that looked like it was getting ready... He strikes out at you and gets a 15 to hit.
That's a miss.
That's a miss. Okay, go ahead and continue with your turn.
I'm going to swing the Warhammer at this one here, and I get a 26.
That's a critical hit, bud.
That's what I said I was going to do, so that's fine.
It's true. That is what you said you would do.
You're like Babe Ruth.
You do. You just take a step up and you just, boom, just smack the plant and it flies across the little clearing here.
Wait, how much damage was that?
16. And then I'll just stand my ground right here. Well, actually,
you could take a step action and get up in their faces. Or move back up. That's also smart.
Or retreat.
A little guerrilla warfare here.
That's kind of cool. Like, everybody has spring attack now.
It is nice.
I'll be done.
All right. Then after Daru, it is Plum Pargeta's turn.
Well, let's go after small plant number two, I guess. First thing I will do is cast a Ray of Frost with a spell attack.
Two actions
to cast Ray of Frost. I get a 19 to hit that plant.
19 certainly hits.
I will deal that plant 6 bludgeoning damage. Then I am going to use my focus ability to cast Elemental Toss, which is another spell attack, which is only one action. And I only get a 14 to hit with that one.
14 misses, unfortunately.
All right. I am done.
Plum releases a Ray of Frost that hits this plant. Then it is to the top of the order with Varnak.
Okay, Varnak will use his first action to study small plant number one. He will then take a stride action.
I'm assuming you mean hunt target, yes.
Hunt prey. What did I say?
Hunt prey. You said study. You had your slayer. Study. Jump back into the old slayer.
Hunt prey. I'll use hunt prey. So one action, second action, stride. Third action, twin takedown.
All right, go ahead and make your rolls.
Battle axe, you get a 23 to hit.
23 does hit.
Damage, I get 9 damage.
9 damage on that one from the great axe. You take a good clean slice right out of it.
And he will follow up with the hammer.
And we get a 22 to hit.
Yes. Okay, 22 does hit.
We're going to see if we can take this guy out in one turn for 7 damage.
Fucking do it. You knock this one out as well. The small pile of bush, vines, and leaves. Very effective turn, Varnak.
That will be Varnak's turn.
All right, then that will lead us over to Vorn Storm. However, before Vorn gets to go, I want to point everybody to these little plants right here. See them? So these four plants, just after you knock down that other plant, Varnak, the one that with the vine that was attacking you, these plants begin like undulating up and down, and this light purple mist begins to emanate from all four of them at the same time as you get close.
Mist or something?
Mist.
Almost like a rain that's purple?
No.
I mean, realistically, that's probably as good as we could have possibly hoped, as it only hits Varnak.
That is insane. There are 4 20-foot radius circles there, and only Varnak is in them. That is a Venn diagram of suck for these plants.
and for Varnak.
Well, for Varnak.
That's it.
Varnak, you're going to have to give me a fortitude save as you inhale this gas.
Kind of figured that's what it would be, so I was already ready to roll that. I get a 23.
23 succeeds. Well done. Now that the these plants have expelled this gas, it is now Vorn Storm's turn.
Produce flame at the only plant that's of their original four.
Just curious, does that stay in the air or does it like immediately come down?
It looks like it is falling down, but it's gonna take a little bit for it to work. You like Lysol spray the air and you watch all the particles slowly drift down.
Yes.
Kind of like that.
I rolled a 2, and I'm not a hero point that.
Ah.
Well, my reroll, I got rolled a 16 plus the 8, so 24.
24 hits.
Rolled 2 on the d4, so that's going to be 6 fire damage total.
You get a really good chunk out of this one, but it's still standing. Was that all 3 of your... Or do you have one more action?
That is all 3 because it's outside of 30 feet and I had to use a reach spell, which makes my spell a 3 action.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Nice. I like that. I really like that.
Makes it a lot easier.
Makes it so you don't have to move and use a move action, and it lets you stay farther away.
All right. Then after Vorn, it is the only small plant that's remaining here, and it's going to move up towards Daru, who is just outside of the gas radius here, and makes a vine strike on Daru. Gets a 23 to hit.
Yeah.
He is going to deal you 3 points of damage. And then it's going to use its third action to grab you. You're not being grabbed by the small plant. And Daru, it is your turn.
So what was the second... Can I... If it's essentially connected to me, I can attack it, right?
it's connected to you. You can still attack it. But basically, everything adjacent to you is difficult terrain. So as long as you're connected to this thing, you're just in difficult terrain.
I'll just kill it. 9 to hit.
You gotta get closer to it there, buddy.
You said it's attached to me.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Attack the vine?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, I'll move up if you want me to, but...
I mean, 9 misses anyways.
All right. I'll try it again. 22.
22 does hit.
10 damage.
You just fucking smash it into the ground.
Heck yeah, I did it.
In fact, you smash the vine that's holding you, and it whips back and it hits the plant right in its planty face.
I broke the rubber band and it just fucking snapped back.
Then it falls over. Okay.
Barnack, get out of that purple shit.
Barnack will absolutely would get out of that.
Get the fuck out of there.
Until it has settled.
It doesn't take very long, maybe 10, 15 seconds from when it was expelled, and it goes away.
Well, that was strange. Went
much better than the last plant fight.
And these were much, much weaker.
Much weaker.
They were. They didn't have the resistances. They actually didn't have the weakness to fire either. And they didn't do that whole blood-sucking thing.
Step back up and start whipping fireballs at the wall again. Fucking wall.
Doesn't do anything. Same thing as before.
This is how we farm XP. I'm waiting for it to respawn.
Barnack will cautiously approach.
Okay. Barnack, you approaching the iris?
Yes.
You get all the way up to it. Nothing happens to you.
I would like to study it closer.
Go ahead and give me a secret nature check.
How do I know if I want a hero pointed if it? I don't know what it is.
That's a good point, actually. Well, too bad.
Dr. V,
you really don't see any way to like get through this. Like, you can assume it's a door because the game trail leads right up to it. You just don't see any way to open it.
Knock on it.
I'll come take a look at the wall once I'm satisfied with throwing little fireballs at it.
How long does that take?
I mean, once I see him walk all the way up and look at the wall, I'm going to stop because I don't want to hit him by accident.
The fact that the wall hasn't eaten me yet, you're like, yeah, it's probably okay.
Yeah,
I'll be all right.
I'm mosey on up, take a look. What kind of checks do you want from me?
You can go ahead and give me a secret nature check. Vorn, you see, like I kind of mentioned before, all the thorns grow in a spiral. It starts spiraling down. They all go in the same direction, clockwise. You see one branch right towards the middle of it that's going the other direction.
A single branch?
Single branch.
I grab the branch.
It's a branch.
Wait, let me come check it for traps.
I start stroking the branch. I break the branch mid-stroke.
If you grab the branch. I was gonna say, if you grab the branch and like move it or twist it in any way, it will cause the door to kind of. You know how, remember I mentioned how it was like pulsating before? It starts like growing backwards in a spiral, and it's making that growing sound just backwards, and then it reveals.
Podcast. And as always, we want to thank you for joining us as we continue our adventures into the Fall of Plaguestone and Pathfinder 2nd Edition. We also want to invite you to check us out on social media at Facebook and Twitter at MinMax. That's MNMAXED. We can't tell you how much we appreciate your support and sharing this podcast with people who you think might enjoy it. We will see you again next week, and until then, we hope you have many great adventures of your own.